sometimes people think that if they just translate the website, everything is fine.
Yeah.
And it isn't. It's about adaptation. It's about getting to know your audience and being able to fulfill the needs of your audience.
And so does that mean the needs of Latino readers, viewers, I'm not always sure how we refer to web users, but are their needs different than those of people who speak English?
Well, some needs may be. Of course, filing taxes would be,
right, the same.
Universal.
Right.
Or healthcare would be universal and things like that. But then you think, this is a population that is an immigrant population.
Yeah.
So these people have to acculturate. They have to get inserted into this society, learn the way of a different country. How do you find a school for your children? How do you go about getting your driver's license? All of this that is very, very easy for somebody who is from here, it could be daunting for somebody who just arrived. So we have a section, for example, in Gobierno USA that is dedicated to newcomers. And so we give them the information to try to, get them familiar with the ways of this country.
And there's actually an executive order that says to government agencies you should provide content to people who aren't, maybe English is their second language.
That's correct. And that was signed in 2000 by President Clinton, and it's called the Executive Order 13166.
Of course it is.
And what that order does is mandate federal agencies and state or local agencies that receive federal dollars for particular programs.
Right.
So that those programs and that information has to be put in other languages, and that's why it's so important that agencies know who they're serving. Because it could be Spanish in a lot of cases, but it could be other languages. It's not limited to Spanish.
We're talking to Laura Godfrey. She's manager of GobiernoUSA.gov. You say it better than I do, so you say it.
GobiernoUSA.gov.
There you go. You say it so beautifully. Talk, because there are some people who, I think most everybody in our audience knows about USA.gov. But walk them through GobiernoUSA.gov and what it is and how it came about.
Well, it came about in about 2002. It was actually launched in 2003, and it was a result of this executive order that we were just talking about. And so it's very much like USA.gov because we are one brand, and we respect that. We are together in that. We have the same architecture, information architecture. We have the same look and feel.
Right.
Although we have slightly different color scheme because that, the one that we chose is a little bit more appealing to the Hispanic community, for example. But we have, as we were discussing a little bit earlier, we have different sections. We have, because of the needs of our audience, for example, 2.5 years ago, we started producing information, not just being a link portal going to other agencies, but also producing original content, which we call articles. And that's because we didn't find all of the information that we needed, and we knew that our audience needed, so we started creating it ourselves.
And so those would be things, there are certain agencies that probably, they're spending a lot of time thinking about their English website. So if they think of having to build a second website, they go, oh my goodness, I just don't have time, energy, money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is a very real challenge in today's world. And so, but one of the things that I would like to say, for example, for those people for the people that are thinking about, and it's not limited to federal agencies, anybody who's thinking about serving other communities, try to figure out what your audience needs. And it may not be, you don't need to probably, translate the entire website. You can, do a progression. You can figure out what the needs are and begin with those areas. And then move on to other areas.
One of your recommendations in you gave a presentation recently, and one of your recommendations was don't be afraid to reach out to the big players. Partner with somebody if they have quality content.
Exactly. And what we did And this we did in 2006, so, I mean, it's been a while. We reached out to, you know, people, portals like Univision.com, Terra.com, and those are portals that are very, very, they're very important in the Hispanic community. So we had something that they did not have, which was timely, official, and relevant government information. We had that, and we maintained that. So we went to them and said, why don't you have a government channel? We just give it to you. But then we get all of those people served, too, that they may not know that we exist because they don't necessarily come to Gobierno USA, or they didn't back then come to Gobierno USA. So this is how we put information in front of millions of people.
There are also tools out there that can help you, and we've spoke to folks at the Captura group before. They're out in San Diego, but they right. I know you've worked with them a lot to build this site. There are tools that they have that can help you essentially do this in an effective way.
Yes, they built this tool called Measure Voice, and it's a great tool because we tweet every day, and what we do is we coined this term that is called the face tweets, because we every day we tweet something, you know, a special piece of information in Spanish, but we link it to Twitter and Facebook at the same time. And this tool lets us do this automatically. We invest the time one day in entering this information in the tool, and then we schedule the tweets to go out every day at a certain time. So it's very effective use of our time. And then, you know, talking about how you repurpose content, we repurpose this same content to be part of a feature in MSN Latino. On the website, every Wednesday, they feature our content. And we just take these face tweets and we revamp them a little bit and syndicate them out to them. And then to other, you know, places that have picked it up afterwards, but it began with MSN.
And I've seen studies that say that the Latino community very online and also very mobile. They're using these mobile devices a lot. So if you're thinking of a mobile platform, this may be a good application for that.
Yes, they are very mobile. And I just happened to have looked at something yesterday, and in the last 3 months, they have come. The mobile platform. Let me see. How can I say this? They have access our site from a mobile device. That has increased 30%. Mm. So that's a huge number for us. And we're working, and in fact, this is, you know it first, Chris.
Yeah.
We're coming up with a mobile version of the site pretty soon in the next few weeks.
Very nice.
So yeah, so we're going to fulfill that need.
We're very excited to see it. I can't wait.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll let you know.
Excellent. Part of the message that I'm hearing you say is, you need to think of your user, but B, don't just treat other non-English speaking groups as if they're like everybody else.
Right, right. We know, for example, that Hispanics are very social. They're in social media a lot. They're very mobile, and they interact even much more than the non-Hispanics. You know, once they are in these mediums, they interact a lot. So this is a good piece of information to have, because then you absolutely need to be there and treat them in a different way. You know, you have to adapt. It's not just about translating, but it's also adapting, culturally and linguistically adapting.